Imagine for a moment you find yourself looking back at life and you're looking and looking at the lessons you have learned. All of us find ourselves encompassed by lessons that we learn. Lessons that seem to direct our steps. When we're little, our parents will tell us certain things. Don't touch that hot burner. Our parents will tell us, be careful not to cross the street without looking. All of those lessons have power to move us forward, especially when they have the right motive behind it. What our parents were trying to do was give us the basis to understand how to live effectively. Because if we touch that burner or if we walk across the street without looking, there's a likelihood that we could jeopardize our future. Well, you can only imagine when you look inside of the story of Joshua's life, how many times he continued to echo over and over the same lesson. This last weekend, I learned a lesson again that I have known several times, but seemed to always ignore it. Maybe you're just like me. I found myself very healthy just about a little over a week ago, and I found myself working down in our basement. And in that basement was dust and all kinds of stuff that's accumulated over a long period of time. Over the span of the last 10 years, at least five different times, I've done the exact same thing. I've gone into an area where there's a lot of dust, not believing that as healthy as I am, I could ever get sick. And what happens to me? I bring all that dust into my lungs, and by the time I get to church today, I've been on steroids, I've been on antibiotics, I've been on cough medicine, I've been on all these things, and all of which, if I had just learned the lesson the first time, what would I have done? I would have put a mask on and breathed through the mask. If I had learned the lesson the second time, I would have put a mask on. But here I am as a 54-year-old guy telling you that just because you feel good today, if you don't learn the lesson, there's no guarantee you're going to feel good tomorrow. I came away from that experience coughing. And you know, one of the saddest parts of the whole deal was I couldn't hold my grandbaby. That was really, really torture for me. And every time when I went by to see her, I'd look at her, but I couldn't hold her. And I said to myself, you've got to learn this lesson. You've got to learn the lesson that's going to cause you to be healthy. Well, if you can only fathom what really happens in life, is there are certain lessons that are etched on our hearts. And today I want to ask you a question as we look at the summation of all of Joshua's instruction. I want to ask you today, what lessons are etched on your heart? When you think about where you are in life, what lessons do you have that you say, you know what, I could never forget that? I just gave you a vivid example how easy it is for us to learn something but not apply it. You see, I had already learned four different times that if I don't go into that basement and start breathing, I'm going to end up in trouble. And yet I never took the time to actually move forward and act on it. Now, when we think about that for a second, all of us have particular lessons that have been etched in our mind. My very first church that I served in had the privilege of serving with Bailey and Sandy Smith. We were young. Let me tell you something I learned in that first church, a lesson I could never forget, that there is a reality between heaven and hell, and that every person needs to recognize that God's ultimate choice for them would be for them to understand they could come into a right relationship with Jesus. How I thank God that 35 years ago, I learned that lesson so that I would not forget and could never be erased from my heart. And you see, for each one of us, we all have lessons. We have lessons like the fact that there is oftentimes trouble in our lives, but we know who we can trust in. There are lessons like we realize that our future, we may look at the future and it seem uncertain, but we know who holds us in his hand and we hang on to that lesson. When we look at the story of Joshua, there are three very distinctive things we see. It's very powerful. The first one is this, that God will honor obedience. When we look at this whole story, we realize something very clearly. Joshua has led the people to come to the point where they realize that if they obey, in fact, today as we look at the text we're going to look at, we're going to see over and over again that Joshua uses the word all. And see, the reality is we're either all in or we probably are not in at all. And so what happens is Joshua brings to focus this whole dynamic of that he will honor obedience. But we learn something else in this story as it unfolds, and that is that God will deal with disobedience. In other words, when we do the wrong thing, God will deal with that and cause us to look at our lives and realize where we are and what it is that he wants to do in each one of our lives. So imagine for a second, today you're sitting at church and you're thinking about your life and you're thinking about the places where you've been obedient and the places where you've been disobedient. Both of them are sources of lessons, aren't they? We learn in both arenas. When we make the unwise choice, what transpires? I can remember as a 16-year-old boy making a choice that I would have never dreamed would so define my life. But all the friends that I had at that age, all of them were going down a particular pathway. It was a pathway that would lead to an abyss. And I can remember so vividly recognizing and thinking about that particular scenario as a 16-year-old boy, and I had to make a choice. Which pathway would I take at that crossroads? I stand here today to tell you that all of those friends that I had, two of them are dead. One of them has spent most of his life in prison. And I think back across the span of the journey, the lesson God taught me. Because, see, my father didn't teach me a lot of very giant lessons, but one thing he did teach me, who you hang out with is who you'll become. And you see, I'd rather hang out with those who love Jesus, who want to go in the right path, than to find those who are at the wrong place, going the wrong way. Very valuable lesson, because here's what you see. When we finish today, you're going to realize something. Joshua says the same thing. He says, be careful who you hang out with. Because if you start hanging out with these folks, you're going to end up in the same kind of dilemma you've been in before. But if you hang out with the right people, you're going to go the right way. And so today I want to challenge you to think about your own journey. In fact, when you look at it, what you see so vividly out of this story is that God has a perfect plan for all of our lives. He's got a plan that's perfect. All we have to do is be willing to yield to it. And you know what happens oftentimes? We get our plan in the forefront of his plan. We start saying, well, if I can do this and if I can do that and if I can move here and I can move there. And his plan always supersedes our plan when we're choosing to live obedient lives. Now, you remember a few weeks ago I gave you a quote because I wanted you to think about it. I want to bring it back to you today because I want you to think about this quote as we look at, today we're going to look at three chapters of the Bible in very brief scenarios, but very succinct looks at what the end of the story is all about. Because Joshua in chapters 22, 23, and 24 brings us to that climactic verse. Remember where he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And so as we look at that, I want you to think about in your own journey this quote. God will always lead us in new directions, but he offers us the privilege of being able to choose whether we will follow or not. God will always lead us in new directions, but we have the opportunity to choose to do it or not, to go whatever pathway God has for us. You ever made a choice to go on a pathway that was not the right choice, not the right path? And you look back at it and you realize, well, that was not the right juncture. That was not the right place to go. And you see, what happens here is we see the end of the story. Joshua gives three very distinctive instructions. He, first of all, speaks to those who are being positioned on the other side of the Jordan River, 2.5 tribes. Then he speaks to the leaders and the elders, and then he speaks intimately to everyone. And what I want you to do is I want you to realize something today. If you're in church today, what God's word does is it shapes the way that we look at life because it helps us see that God has definitive directions for everything that we ever face, everything we ever encounter in life. And so I want you today to grab hold of this and see three very distinctive things that he said. And what I want to show you is three lessons. But I also want to show you the motive behind each one of the lessons, all right? So the first one is in chapter 22. Open your Bible, if you would, there. And as you turn there in Joshua chapter 22, you'll discover that there's very clear reminders to the people of what it is they're supposed to do. And the first lesson that's so vital is that we learn how to watch carefully what steps we take in life. Watch carefully what steps you take, because you can make one step that can lead to your demise, or you can take one step that will lead you straight to what it is God has for your life. It just takes one step in any direction. And so here's what's happening. Obviously, everyone is getting what God has promised them. You're going to discover not a single promise God made ended up being not kept. God's promises are sure. That's why if you're here today and you claim and anchor your life in the promises of God. Whatever those promises are, you heard testimony of different things. You just heard Travis stand up and testify to what God's word has said that he is trusting in, how you're trusting God to do, just like many of us have joined together in believing and trusting. You see, those promises are there to solidify our capacity to live and to move us forward. But you got to be careful what steps you take, what steps you go in. So as you think about your own personal journey, think about the steps you've taken before that were the wrong way. And then look today and see how valuable it is when we start moving in God's direction in the right way. Let's look at a good beginning. We're going to read a beginning in verse 1 of chapter 22. And we're just going to see a couple concepts here. And then I want to show you the motive behind this, okay? Look, if you would, verse 1. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have listened to my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers, as he spoke to them. Therefore, turn now, go to your tents to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan. Only be very careful to observe the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, and to watch this, and to walk in all his ways and keep his commandment, and hold fast to him. Serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them, sent them away, and they went to their tents. Well, if you were to stop right there, you would say they got it. They understood it all. And the motive behind Joshua's instruction was to teach future generations. When you look about it, the motive was to make sure that future generations could understand all that God has accomplished and commanded. And what the motive was to make sure that they took this with them. Now, when you read this story in chapter 22, and we're not going to dig into all of it, but here's what you're going to discover. Look, if you would, at verse 10, because at verse 10, they take an action that seems to be contrary to the motive that has been given there. And what I want you to see today, and don't miss this, in life, there are lessons that are clearly directed by the motives of our heart. All right? So we don't want to miss this as we see how this fits together. So here, all of a sudden, in verse 10, it says that they begin to build an altar. When they came to the region, the Jordan, which is the land of Canaan, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a large altar in appearance. Now, if you read that, you immediately say, well, that doesn't mean anything because they're just going to worship like everyone else. But they had been told very clearly what to do and what not to do. And they'd been told not to build an altar in any place other than the places where they had been established by God for them to build it. And so as a result, if you read this whole chapter, here's what happens. A storm brews between the rest of the people. And they say, you know what, we got to deal with this. In fact, if you look at it, just notice, if you would, in verse 17, is it not the iniquity of Peor enough for us, for which we have not cleansed ourselves to this day, although a plague came on the congregation of the Lord, that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel tomorrow. If, however, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross into the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord or rebel against us by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord our God. Now, when you read this, you immediately realize something, and it's something we have to not ever miss. Our actions in life are noted by others. You see, what happened was, they were doing what they thought was the right thing to do because they didn't have an impure motive, but they had not followed the instruction clearly. And so they get confronted, and what do? The Bible says that they say to them, you better not be rebellious, because if you're rebellious, what you're really saying is you're going to do it your way instead of God's way. And listen carefully. It is the very nature of what happens to us oftentimes. It is the very nature for us to rebel against the best plan God has for our lives and to do it our way. To build our own altar, to do it in our own way instead of allowing God to direct our steps. You ever had a season in your life where you're rebellious, where you just did the wrong thing, and you went at it the wrong way, and you look back at it and you have such regret? You think, I can't believe I went that far. Isn't it amazing how quickly we can go so far away from God's very best for our lives? All it takes is what? A single step. Date the wrong person. Talk to the wrong person on the phone. Step in a direction that you think, hey, that's going to be the best, but it's not. Listen carefully. People watch how we live. You got to be careful, and it's noted by others. But another thing I want you to see, not only that though, I want you to look on down at verse 29 because I want you to see what happens. What happens here is they have to explain. In fact, move back to verse 26 because it'll help you understand more clearly. Therefore, we said, let us build an altar, not for burnt offerings or for sacrifice. Rather, it shall be a witness between us and you and between our generations after us that we are to perform the service of the Lord before him with burnt offerings and with sacrifice and with our peace offerings so that your sons will not say to our sons in time to come, you have no portion in the Lord. Therefore, we said, it shall come about if they say this to us or to our generations in time to come, then we shall say, see the copy of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings or for sacrifice. Rather, it is a witness between us and you. Now, stop and realize what they do here. They're about to get whooped by about a bunch of other tribes. And all the tribes are saying, we're going to take care of what it is you're choosing to do, and we're going to deal with it because you're rebellious. And they come back in these verses and say, wait, you don't get the picture here. All we want to do is we're not planning on doing what you do, the tabernacle. What we are planning to do is to make sure our children never forget. And you sit here saying, well, that could never happen. Listen to me carefully. Research being done right now says this, that only one out of every 10 Christian homes in this land bring any semblance of Jesus into the home on a regular basis. Does that not petrify you to think about? That our homes, listen carefully, our homes are the place where our children learn about God. The church is just the affirmation of what happens in the home 7 days a week. And when I heard this statistic, I said to myself, what do we do? How do we reawaken the hearts of people so they realize that what's happening at home is vital? Listen carefully. The actions you take at home in private will be reflected in public by those who watch you live your life. It's so vital to look at your life and realize, I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. And that's why when you look at this passage, you can't forget that your life message, it'll be challenged. But if you are in the middle of God's will, it'll carry you all the way home. I want you to look at what happens with the priest's son. What he says, look on down at verse 29. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away from following the Lord this day by building an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings or sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before the tabernacle. So when Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the congregation, even the heads of the families of Israel who were with him, heard the words which the sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, and the sons of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. And Phinehas sent the son of Eleazar, the priest, and to the sons of Reuben, to the sons of Gad, and to the sons of Manasseh. Today we know that the Lord is in our midst, because you have not committed this unfaithful act against the Lord. Now you have delivered the sons of Israel from the hand of the Lord. Here's what the priest says. We understand your motive. We understand your actions. And we understand that you have accomplished exactly what it is that you intended to do. And that is to teach by way of semblance. A memory that connects you into watching every step that you take. Lesson number one, watch every step. Chapter 23, Joshua changes focus. He speaks to those who are the leaders and the elders, those who have great responsibility. He gives them that second instruction. Let's look at it, if we could. Chapter 23, what does he give us here that's so vital? He gives us this concept. Be wise to follow all of the directions that God gives you. You see, oftentimes, we pick and choose. Well, I'll be obedient in that area, but I'm not sure about that. And what he says here all of a sudden is he breaks it all down. He says, you got to be wise enough to follow all the directions. In fact, if you were to read chapters 22, 23, and 24, there's one word that dominates the entire text. It is all. All. Are you all in? Remember last week, we asked a big question. How big is your God? How big is your God? Because we wanted to make sure we didn't misunderstand that our responsibility is centered in us understanding what it is he has for us and how big he is and what he can accomplish. So let's look at this text, because what you see here is there's one overarching motive that Joshua had for them, and that was to grasp the power of every promise of God's word. And you know, when you get that kind of motive, it moves you forward. That's why we as a church, for example, we as a church take this book and use it as the basis to guide our lives. We preach the truth of this book. We preach this infallible book that gives us instruction to change our lives forever. We stand on this book as the promises that will guide our life. We don't flippantly move through this book. We very methodically look into it. That's why over the last 10 weeks, we have looked at the life of Joshua. We've looked at a man who God chose to do amazing things with. And at the end of his journey, when he says he's getting old, he comes back to this lesson. Don't forget these promises you have. Follow every one of them. That was his motive. Now, when you look at it, let's look at it just for a moment, because he brings them together, chapter 23, verse 1. And in the first few verses, he gives them an understanding of where they need to go. Now, it came about after many days when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years. And watch what he does here. And you have seen all the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have apportioned to you these nations, which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I've cut off, from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you, drive them out before you, and you will possess their land just as the Lord your God promised. But notice what he says, be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them, but you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations before you, and as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of you, watch this, one of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourself to love the Lord your God. As he speaks these words, you realize something. He's saying something very distinctive. He says if you're not careful, you'll go the wrong way because you associate with the wrong people. And as you associate with the wrong people, you forget to cling to the Lord and keep loving him with all your heart. So let's look at this passage and understand something, because here's what we want to see. And I don't want you to miss this on this as we head towards Thanksgiving, in this season in which we are very grateful as God's people, that we have a responsibility to fulfill all the things that God's put before us. So let's look at it. Watch how it unfolds. First of all, he makes it very clear, and he says in verses 5 and 6, he makes it very clear that there's only one book that will guide you all the way home. You see, we live in a day where there's so many self-help books that take you through every journey you could ever imagine. How to be better at this, how to be better at that. How to move forward with this, how to move forward with that. And what you discover is, Joshua says, there are going to be all kinds of influences coming your way. There are all kinds of things coming at you. Just be careful to make sure you yield to this book. Let it be the very essence of who you are, because it's the only book which leads you all the way home, takes you all the way to that journey of faith, and brings you to the promised land that we call heaven. So what does he say? First of all, make sure you follow this book and don't miss it. Second thing he says, though, and he says it there in verses 7 and 8, be careful who you relate to in life. And what he's saying here is, it doesn't mean you don't have responsibility to be a witness, but be careful how you associate. Because if you associate the wrong way, what can happen is you can end up missing what it is God has for you by way of purpose for your life. Because you all of a sudden start hanging out with the wrong things, doing the wrong things, hanging out with the wrong people. And so as you think about your own life, what he says here is be careful that these people don't. In fact, it's interesting what he says, don't even mention their gods. Don't even bring that to the table. Because what you're going to do is you start mentioning it, it's going to lead you in the wrong way. There's another thing he does, though, because he makes it very clear. He gives us one of these really powerful words. Because he says, he makes it, in fact, it's this way when we look at the text. Apply the principle of 1 to 1,000. Look at this verse again, because it has very significant meaning for us. Look, if you would, verse 10. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. Apply the principle of 1 to 1,000, which tells you something. The odds may be against you in life, but you have God on your side, which means you have 1,000 to 1. You have that kind of power in being able to live out your life if your faith is anchored in the promises of God. And so imagine for a second, you're coming up against an obstacle. You're facing a challenge. Something's coming at you. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know what to say. Then all of a sudden you realize the promise of God, that you as one are as 1,000. And then all of a sudden what happens? You get equipped, you get motivated, you get empowered to move forward, to be strong, to be strengthened in the Lord. That's what he was trying to say to him. Because what he realized was that if they were to end up experiencing what they needed to in life, they had to come to this place where they would grasp the power of every promise God would give them. We must make sure we do the same thing. There's one final thing we see in this second lesson, because this lesson is all about being wise to follow all his direction for our life. Which, by the way, you set this book aside, you lose the very roadmap for life. You set this book aside, you lose the very promises that will guide you through life. You set this book aside, and you will miss the best of life. And that's what he was trying to say, because he says, I'm old. But then one other thing that he says here that I think is so powerful, and that is, he says, don't forget to love him with all your heart. Look at verse 11 again and see what it says there. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. Because if you do that, you're going to move in a certain way. But I want you to notice what happened. What he says, if you don't choose to love the Lord, what's going to happen? Look, if you would, at verse 13. Know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will become, watch these words, a snare and a trap, a whip and thorns in your eyes. Here's what he says. If you choose to play with fire, you will get burned. Anybody ever played with fire? Anybody ever gone the wrong way thinking, hey, you know, I can do it my way instead of God's way? Here's what he said. You want to get a snare, you want to get trapped, you want to get thorns sticking you, you want to have something bracing against your side, then walk away from what it is that God's promised you. And then we come to chapter 24, that final lesson where he brings us to that verse that we should never forget as to the choice we should make. And look, if you would, at this text, because here we find the overarching message of all of Joshua's life. And that is his lesson he wanted them to never forget, is make decisions that will leave a legacy. What he really says here is make these lasting decisions, these decisions that will be your whole story. See, none of us know how long we'll live, what our story will end up like, except that if our story is centered in faithfulness, then we'll see the fruit of that. But if our story is centered outside of faithfulness, we'll see the pain of that. And so as we think about our own journey, what will your legacy be? If today was the day in which we told your story, we told your whole life story, what would it say? Would it say that he was faithful? Would it say that he was a man who understood his times and committed his life to accomplish that? Would it say of her that she had a great opportunity and she grabbed it and she lived it all out? You see, when you get to the end of Joshua's life, what he wants to make sure they get is that there is a story that will carry them all the way home. And there is a story that will leave a legacy. You see, I don't know if you're like me, but there are certain things that I so long for my children and for all of the sheep of this family never forget. And that is, God is faithful. God does guide us. God will open up the windows of heaven and pour blessings on those who choose to follow him. Those kind of lessons that are etched inside of our hearts. That's what Joshua is trying to do here. He's doing one final etching. In fact, when you look at it, what he really says here is you better make sure these choices are very decisive or they'll be to your detriment. Look, if you would. In the first 13 verses, he basically gives a summation of their story. In fact, it's interesting because when you read verse 1 to verse 13, he basically says, here's what he says. You got on God's side. God took care of everything that got in your way. And as a result, you get to have a beautiful future. You get to have a future and a hope. But in verse 14, he comes to the climactic words that he says from the entire book. Look, if you would, with me. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to imagine for a second. You're sitting in church today, and you're having to make a choice. You will either serve the gods that you have known. You see, in our world, we do have those same gods. We have the gods of money. We have the gods of accumulated wealth. We have the gods of power. We have all these different gods. And all of a sudden, he says, you can't cling to any of that stuff. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. And he says, choose today who you'll serve. Choose today which way you will go. Because as you make that choice, something powerful will begin to happen in your life. You'll find yourself distinctively connected to God's purpose for your life. So look at it. Just look at it with me just for a moment. Because what does he say here? He gives us his motive. Because when you look at it, he had a very clear motive. He wanted to bring every person to the point of decision. You see, the reality is, if you make a decision, then something can move forward. But if you don't make a decision, nothing can transpire. It's like the person who ends up dating somebody a long time. And they finally get to the point where they say, are you ever going to marry me or not? And the person on the other side says, well, I'm not sure. Let me say this. When you hear that, chunk the guy, chunk the girl, and move forward with life. Because if they're not going to make a decision, what they're going to do is they're going to lead you along. And they're going to lead you along a pathway of their choosing. They're not going to lean you on, they're not going to follow your path. They're going to lead you on their path. And here, listen carefully. Better to chunk to junk than it is to spend your life wondering what could have happened. Right? Anybody ever dated junk? You can be honest. Because what you got to ask yourself is, what happened to me? How did I end up dating that person? And how did I end up going that way? Listen carefully. This is very, very biblical. I could give you lots of verses. Chunk to junk and move on, all right? That's what it really means to have the right kind of life. And that's what Joshua's saying. Chunk everything that's going to get in your way and come back to the reality of how life will work for you. So let's look at how he does it. First of all, he makes it very clear. He says you got to give him all you have. I mean, that's what he says in verse 14 there. Put everything away, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity, and come back to God. Give him all you have. And you know what's amazing about that? I get so amazed because I'm watching all these young moms as they post on Facebook. And you know what I hear out of every one of their minds and hearts? They give it all. They give it all to what God's brought into their lives. I watch their joy. I watch even the challenges they face. And all of it comes back to giving it all to him because he has been faithful in giving something to them. And so what you need to look at, first of all, Joshua said, give it all to him. But then in verse 15, what does he say here? Be wise to choose the right path. Because here's what he's saying. You're going to stand and life's going to look one way and that way. Be wise. Choose the right path. And if you're walking through a season of adversity, don't allow that adversity to move you away from God's purpose. Allow it to move you towards God's purpose. And what he's saying here, there are all kinds of gods that you have seen. You've seen how they live and how they respond. Be wise enough. Be wise enough in your own choices to lead the right kind of legacy and make the right choice. The third thing he says here, as we wind this all together, is never forget the consequences of unholy choices. Look at verse 16. Notice what he says. The people answered, said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from these houses of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we should went and among all the people through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Then Joshua said to them, you will not be able to serve the Lord who is holy. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions. If you forsake, watch this, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. You see, when he comes down the bottom line, he says to him, if you make an unholy choice, there's a consequence. Could I, would I, should I? What will happen if I do that? And finally, he makes it very clear as he wraps it all together. Be careful to declare your allegiance to the Lord because he's the key to life. And the way he does that is he makes it clear in verse 24. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and we will obey his voice. When you read this, you really ask yourself one simple question. What lessons do you follow? What lessons are you willing to follow? Because you're going to either follow them the right way or the wrong way. You're going to miss it or experience it. And I want to encourage you today, as you think about your own life, you are the summation of the lessons you have learned and your willingness to apply them. Whether you are 17 years old or whether you are 50 or whether you are 80, you're the summation of these powerful lessons. They bring to light how you have lived, how you've made choices. And Joshua, when he brings it all together, he makes it very clear. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And today we have a choice. We can choose to serve him or miss the best of life. But as for me and my house, what does he say? We will serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the promises that speak to our lives. Thank you for all the people who are gathered together today in your house. I think about the power of every person's choice to choose to go the right way. Lord, may they find that when they choose you, all of life works. It works in a powerful way. And I bless you, Lord, for this day, that we can come before you and we can surrender ourselves to you. I pray, Lord, you bless us. Sweet fellowship of knowing that we are in the center of your will for our lives. I thank you, Lord, again for the promises of your word and what Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. We make that choice. We will serve the Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.